All right, let's turn to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 12. And we began this message last week, and we didn't get very far. And so I'm going to really cover a lot of the same territory, but try to get all the way down through like verse number 10 tonight. We started out, and we know as we began the message in verses 1 through 2, well, that's a couple of weeks ago, we talked about that that the author of Hebrews is trying to encourage these Hebrew Christians, and he's encouraging them about how to walk by faith, and he says if you're struggling with your walk of faith, just look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then he mentioned to them how that they have not resisted unto blood like Jesus did, and not to be wearied in their mind. And so as they're walking and with Christ, and these Hebrew Christians no doubt are facing some criticism because of their following of Jesus Christ, and even some persecution because of their following Christ, the author of Hebrews is trying to encourage them. And he begins by saying in verse number 5, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." And so he's reminding them here not to forget about chastening. Like, they're facing these persecutions, and they're facing difficult and hard times. But he wants them to remember that what they're facing may be chastening from the hand of the Lord. Now, this is almost an exact quote of Proverbs 3, 11 through 12 in the Septuagint. So we want to remember that. And I'm not going to dig into that again this week like I did last week. But we want to remember that he's reminding them to go back to the book of Proverbs and remember what Proverbs 3, 11, and 12 says. "Son, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he rebukes and scourges every son whom he receives." And so that's almost an exact quotation of the Septuagint of Proverbs 3, 11, and 12. And so he's trying to remind them that chastening is beneficial. And if you go back and look at Proverbs 3, you understand that the one who wrote Proverbs is telling them, like verse number 1 is, "Son, remember to be wise." And when he's teaching him to be wise, one of the things he tells them is the benefit of chastening. Chastening, rebuking, scourging, all of those things are beneficial to us, and they're all a part of growing in wisdom. And so the author of Hebrews is trying to tell them, listen, you're facing some negative circumstances. And yes, they might be persecution, but I want you to understand it's all beneficial for you. God might be using this to chasten you, to rebuke or scourge you, or to train you. So remember this, that sometimes the training that you need comes through negative circumstances. And when you think about growth, all growth requires some negative circumstances. Negative circumstances increase the growth. And you think about this and think about some examples out there in nature, and you can think about a fruit tree. And if you want a fruit tree to grow and to grow better fruit, what do? You prune the fruit tree. So you cut some of the limbs back. And so some of the energy is not going to growing limbs, but the energy can go into growing bigger and better fruit. And so to that limb, when that limb is cut off, that's a negative circumstance. But removing that limb from the tree is beneficial for the tree, and it's beneficial for the fruit. So when you're looking at negative circumstances, when you're looking at difficult circumstances, remember that might be the Lord training you to produce bigger and better fruit. And so the author of Hebrews is reminding them that since chastening is beneficial, chastening should be expected. In other words, God's not going to keep something back from you that's beneficial for you. And probably all of us might be able to go to some times in our lives when we would say, you know, those were the most difficult days of my life. But for me, those most difficult days of my life have been some of the best days of my life, because it was through those days that I depended on the Lord more than at other times. And so the author of Hebrews is trying to get them to see the benefit of chastening. And so he tells them in verses 5 and 6, he tells them the value of chastening. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son that he receives. So, here's the message to the Hebrew Christians. Since chastening is beneficial, don't despise it. You know, I didn't enjoy, and I think I might have mentioned this last week, I didn't enjoy when, you know, my mom would always point over to the drawer that had the flyback paddle in it, and that was the drawer. And she would be like, you know what's in that drawer right there, don't you? Yeah, I know what's in there. And then when she'd go over and she'd slide that drawer out, you know, and then she'd pull that thing out. I didn't enjoy one spanking that I got my entire life. I didn't enjoy any of them. As I got older, I mean, I hated it, but as I got older and I began to think about all of the benefits of the discipline that my parents gave me, I might have despised it when I was younger, but I appreciated it when I was older. And that's what the author of Hebrews is trying to get them to see. Be mature in your Christian walk, and as you're walking through these difficult seasons in life, which might be chastening, understand they're beneficial and don't despise them, because what is God doing? He's working on you, he's maturing you, and also he's loving you. I know that doesn't seem to go, doesn't seem to reason, does it? That chastening is an outpouring of love. But that's exactly what he says here. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And so when you're chastened, God's loving you. And I can remember, you know, I'm only doing this because I love you. And I'm like, yeah, you've got a strange way of showing love. You know, but that was the truth. My parents disciplined me because they loved me. And they must have loved me a lot because they disciplined me a lot. But you get the point. Chastening is an outpouring of love. And I think I mentioned this last week too. But my parents wouldn't discipline the neighbor kids. They might get angry. And one time, I think I told you this too, my mom whooped me because she was so mad at one of the neighbor kids. So she chastened me because she was mad at the neighbor kid. But she never chastened them. She never whooped them. But it was all because it was all out of love, right? It was never out of hatred or anger. And so here's the thing for these Hebrew Christians to remember, and it's the thing for us to remember. If the Lord brings chastening into our lives, it is because he loves us. Because the one he loves, he chastens. And the one that he's not his, and the one he doesn't love, he doesn't chasten. And so we find the value of chastening in the definition of the word chastening. And in Merriam-Webster, the definition of chastening is to correct by punishment or suffering. To correct by punishment or suffering. Have you all ever, you know, sometimes chastening is might not be physical discipline, but you allow someone to suffer the consequences of their decisions. You allow them to suffer because of the decisions that they made. And by that, they learn. And so sometimes chastening is not an action. Sometimes it's a passive chastening. It's when you allow things to happen. In the New Testament, though, we understand that chastening, and the word that is translated chastening, can be understood to mean instructed or training. And so it's more than just God taking his belt off and whooping you. It's not God just allowing negative things into your life to discipline you, but it's training and to be instructed. I'm going to look at a couple of verses. You can look at these if you want to. Acts chapter number 7 and verse number 22. We're going to get an example of the same root word that is translated, that is chastening, is found in Acts 7, 22, and it's talking about Moses. And it says about Moses this. It says, and Moses was learned. So it would be the same, learned has the same root word as chastening. So Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. So Moses was taught all the ways of the Egyptians, all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He sat underneath an instructor and learned all of those things. So in this case, chastening could be known as learning. So Moses was chastened in all the wisdom, but it sounds better to say Moses learned all the wisdom of the Egyptians. If you go over to Acts chapter number 22, speaking of Paul, again, the same thing. We're looking at the same root word that is translated chastening in Hebrews 12. And here it says in Acts 22 and verse number 3, it says this about Paul. I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarshish, a city in Sicily, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers and was zealous toward God all you as you are this day. So Paul was taught at the feet of Gamaliel and he was taught all the manner of the law. And so what we see from that is the Greek word that is translated chastening is more than just punishment or suffering. It involves all that could be included in instruction. And you're taught the ways of the Lord. You're instructed in the ways of the Lord. All of that is chastening. And so really, in that sense, we might say, tonight you're sitting through chastening. You're sitting through discipline. You're sitting through discipleship. You are learning, and then you will take what you've learned and you will apply it to your life. All of that is a part of what would be known as chastening. Same kind of thing when it says of 2 Timothy 3:16, where the scriptures are profitable for instruction. Or if you go to the book of Ephesians in chapter number 6 and verse number 4, and you find out this, it says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That means you teach them in such a way that it's not destructive, but it's corrective. And so when this chastening is going on, it's not to destroy someone, but it is to instruct them or to correct them. And so when you think about the word chastening, you want to keep all of this in view and to get the the full picture of what the word chastening means. Okay, so Isby says this, that's the Bible Encyclopedia, says, all of life's sorrows are remedial agencies against danger and to train for the kingdom of heaven. And so what we understand, all that, in all the ways that we are instructed and all the ways that we may suffer and all of the experiences of life that God is using to instruct us in righteousness and to correct us when we go astray, all of that would be included in chastening. Even sometimes life sorrows, God allows those to come into our lives to instruct us. All of that would be considered in chastening. And so we see the value of that is that God wants us to be holy as he is holy. God wants our minds to be transformed so that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God's going to work in us to help that to happen. And all of that together would be known as chastening. So as we go back to Hebrews 12, we'll look at verse number 7 now, again, as we're thinking about the benefit of chastening. And he reminds them that, listen, I love you, so I'm going to chasten you. That's what God says. So the author of Hebrews is reminding them that, listen, since God loves you, you should expect some chastening along the way. And then he adds to that in verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deal with you as sons, for what son is it whom the Father chasteneth not? And so he's saying, remember, enduring chastening provides benefits. Notice he says, if you endure. The thought is this. Know that when chastening comes, it is God dealing with you. It would be easier to say when you endure chastening. But the if there lets us understand that, you know, there's some people who are hearing this that may not be sons, and so they may not endure chastening. And so he's saying, listen, if you endure chastening, know this, that means you're a son. Okay? So God is dealing with you. You know, God's not just sort of let you go. I didn't ever want to come to that point to where my parents just let me go. Like, I'm done. I can't deal with you anymore. Just go on. I was talking to someone this week, and they were talking about someone who has a drug condition. And someone called their parent to talk to their parent, and I can't remember where I was at and why I was talking to this person, but this person was trying to talk about another person who wanted them to call home to their parent, and this person, like, your son or daughter wanted me to call you. And they were like, so? I don't care. Let them go. In other words, I've had enough. I'm done. God doesn't do that to us because we're his sons. So understand that when you're enduring chastening, it's God dealing with you. It's God, I'm not giving up on you yet. There's something I want you to learn. There's something I want you to experience. I'm still working on you. So be thankful that God is dealing with you as a son. Again, I made the analogy a while ago about my parents. You know, they might be frustrated with some of the neighbors growing up, but they wouldn't discipline those neighbor boys, but they would discipline me. And the reason they wouldn't do that is because they weren't dealing with them as sons. They were dealing with them as neighbor boys. But the way they dealt with me was as a son. That they had a different love for me, and they had a desire for me, and so they wanted things to be different for me. I had a first cousin who, his parents wanted my mom and dad to take him into our home because the boy respected my dad, but he didn't respect his dad, and it was like, if he comes here, this was the stipulation, that if he comes, I'm going to treat him as my son. I'm not going to treat him like I have in the past, you know, where I said, okay, he's your son, you deal with him. No, if he comes to stay at my house, he's going to be like my son, which means I'm going to discipline him like my son. You deal with your sons differently, right? That's what the point he's trying to say. And the point he's trying to get them to see here is, listen, if you are experiencing some form of chastening, just recognize that God is dealing with you as one of his sons. He loves you as his son, and he's dealing with you as a son. And remember that wisdom says that love brings chastening. In other words, if you are receiving chastening, understand that you are loved. Know that you are loved. If you are experiencing chastening, know that you are loved. Because remember what else the book of Proverbs says. Proverbs 13:24. The one who spares the rod hates his son. So the parent who will not discipline his child, oh, I love him too much to discipline. No, you hate them. It's what the scripture says. So let's remember, if you receive chastening, know that you are loved, because the one who doesn't receive any chastening isn't loved. And I thought about this as I was preparing this message. Oh, how unwise and how unloving our culture is. Because our society forsakes discipline and demands acceptance. Do you know why there's not much love in the world? Is because people don't know what true love is. You got to accept me for who I am. No. Love does not accept you for who you are. Love demands that you walk according to the Word of God. So our society is unwise and unloving. So as we are walking through this chapter, we want to keep in mind that the author of Hebrews is attempting to encourage these believers in their persecution. They are suffering, and they're suffering greatly. And again, as we always mention about Jews who become Christians, remember, they might have lost their homes, they might have lost their jobs, they might have been disowned from their family. We know during this time there was great physical persecution against Christians. Remember, Christians were being hauled into the Colosseum and fed to the lions. I mean, there was great persecution going on at this time. And no doubt these Hebrew Christians, some of them might have been experiencing that. And the Hebrew writer, author of Hebrews, is saying, listen, I know you're facing persecution, but I want you to know what's God doing through your persecution. God is disciplining you. God is chastening you. God is instructing you. God is showing you just how much He loves you. And again, this is so different than what people say. Well, if God loves me, why would He let bad things happen to me? Why aren't things all lollipops and rainbows? If God really loved me, I wouldn't have hard times. No, if God loves you, it's going to be persecution. It's going to be hard. It's going to be discipline and training. Understand that when someone has this mindset that if bad things happen to me, difficult things happen to me, that means God doesn't love me. They got that picture completely backwards. Difficulties in life come because God loves us and He wants us to show how much He loves us. And sometimes He's showing us how much He loves us because we're that sheep out there that He goes, leaves the 99 to go get and carry back into the fold. And because sometimes we're the prodigal son who've gone and wasted everything and we've been out in sin so much, and here we found out the futility of following our own fleshly desires, and we come crawling back to the Lord and asking for His forgiveness, and we see Him there with arms open wide receiving us back in. You see, we experience the love of God through these difficult things, and we want to keep the proper perspective on it. That's what the author of Hebrews is trying to get them to see. These persecutions that are pressing them, they seem like chastening. But he's trying to get them to remember that they are present because they are the sons of God. The lack of chastening is a sign of a lack of sonship. The presence of chastening is a sign of sonship, because all sons receive chastening. Now, I've already mentioned this briefly for us to understand about what chastening is, but let's think about where we might see chastening pictured in life, where what might be perceived as a negative action is actually beneficial. You know, I've already mentioned the pruning of a fruit tree. Whenever you cut back some limbs to try to help the apples grow larger or whatever. But another common example would be the suckering of tomatoes. Or another thing that is not necessarily negative, but thinking about guiding a vine to a trellis. You want that vine to grow. And so you have a trellis there for it to grow. And so you point that vine to the trellis so it can grow up the trellis and it can be more healthy and better. So directing, instructing that vine to the place where it needs to grow would be chastening. And again, remember, chastening is not all negative because instructing is part of chastening too. So guiding a vine to a trellis, or you've seen a tree that they've had to take and they've had to put these wires to it to get it to grow straight, right? You know, it's growing crooked for one way or another. So they'll get a guide wire and they'll pull it and they'll straighten that tree up. So that would be a picture of chastening, where something was growing crooked and you give it some corrective measures so that when you go straight, that would be a picture of what chastening is, or just an instruction manual. We've all got them in the glove boxes of our cars, and that instruction. How do I change a light bulb in my car? Well, you get the instruction manual out, and it'll show you how to do that. That's a way that you're instructed so that you can accomplish something positive. Or a roadmap would be a way that we're instructed to get from here to there. And all of those things would be pictures for us of chastening. Again, we have this, our first. Our default thought when we go to chastening, we're always thinking about getting a whooping. But we want to understand that there's more to chastening than just physical discipline. There's instruction that goes along with that. And so when we say every son will receive a chastening, you don't want to understand. He's going to train you in the right way to go. And there's things that we can learn from being chastened. Like, We'll learn what sin is through chastening. Chastening might reveal to us what an idol is in our hearts. Reading the scripture would be a form of chastening. Listening to preaching. Negative circumstances coming into our lives to show us our misplaced loyalties or affections. Those are all things that we can learn, you know. Learn my misplaced loyalties through circumstances in my life. Those would be all of examples of things that we might learn. So what does it mean to be chastened? Got questions will give you an answer to that. These are things that could be, we could experience chastening through guilty feelings, unpleasant circumstances, loss of peace, relationship fractures, sometimes even physical illness or death. According to 1 Corinthians 11:30, all of those are forms of chastening. I've got all kinds of scriptural examples here. Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land, right? David was disciplined. Solomon, the kingdom was rent from his hands. Paul's thorn in the flesh. Here's what he said, 2 Corinthians 12:7. Unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, to chasten me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And so that thorn in the flesh was there to keep Paul humble. That was God chastening him, to keep him from turning into pride. Again, got questions and answer. When we sin, we can expect that our loving Heavenly Father will not let us get away with it. Because He loves us, He desires us to live holy lives. If someone professes to know Christ but is living a lifestyle of unrepentant sin and claims to feel fine about it with no qualms, then that person is not a legitimate child of God. God chastens everyone He accepts as a son. And so we want to learn about chastening and to expect it. And to remember that we are benefited by chastening because it will result in reverence for God. So we're still talking about the benefits. What's he say in verse number 9? Furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. And so he's saying, shall we not, therefore, shall we not much rather be subject to, be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live. So being disciplined by our earthly father created a reverence for us, for our earthly father. We honored him because we know if I do it, I get a whooping. And so I didn't want to do it sometimes because I didn't want to get a whooping. And so anyway, so it helped us to learn who was in authority. Even if I said, go ahead, whoop me, I don't care, I still knew he was in authority and he had every right to do it because he was my dad, you know. So it helps us to learn who was in authority over our lives. So the same thing, what the author of Hebrews is saying is this. Discipline comes into your life. You learned authority and you learned subjection for your earthly father because he disciplined you. And so understand that the same benefit will come when God begins to discipline you. It will allow you to learn who he is so that you honor and reverence him. He's God and you're not. And that he is in authority to your life. And it teaches us that it's better to be in subjection to the Father of spirits. You know, a lot of times it'd been better for us if we'd have been in subjection to our parents instead of trying to flex our muscles of our independence. It would have been better for us. And that's what the author of Hebrews here is saying. Listen, understand the chastening is coming and learn reverence for God and understand he's authority. And listen, if you will bring yourself under that subjection, just understand the life that it will bring to you. So chastening from God is for our profit because it creates in us holiness. Look what verse number 10 says. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So the benefit of being chastened by God is that it's for your profit, and the end result is holiness. Be holy for I'm holy. How am I going to get you who are not holy to be holy as I'm holy? Through discipline, through chastening. It's going to create holiness in us. And so let's remember, if you're a son, you're going to receive chastening. If you're not a son, if you receive not chastening, then you're not a legitimate son of God. And so if you can get through life and you can sin and not care about it, not worry about it, and then not do anything to you, and if you keep on sinning and there's no negative thing that comes into your life, better be examining yourself to see if you be in the faith, because if God loves you, if he's your son, he's not going to allow you to continue on in sin. So what's the landing spot for this sermon? The landing thought for this sermon is that we need to learn the benefit of chastening. We should expect chastening. And we should look for the fruit of holiness, which that chastening produces in us. Again, the author of Hebrews is encouraging these Hebrew Christians in their persecution by reminding them that that persecution that they are experiencing is God creating holiness in them. So be thankful that God loves them and he's producing that holiness in them through the circumstances they are experiencing in life. Great lessons to learn about chastening tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you'll bless the preaching of your word. And may we all have the right perspective as we think about difficult circumstances in life. May we look for your hand in our lives, and may we look for the fruit of holiness as you work in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Thank you for the hope we have in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.